Blog Talk Radio.
The date of August 8th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 81 degrees under sunny skies. We welcome in our buddy, Mr. Kyle DeMannencore. Hello, sir.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. You can hear the music. You can hear the pageantry all the way from a time zone and a hemisphere away. This is the Olympics, and it is Olympics basketball, which is why Kyle joins us to talk Olympic basketball. How are we, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
So here we are, and first of all, I always find it interesting when it comes to the Olympics, the buzzer sounds different. It's just it's a different atmosphere, different aura, but when the buzzer sounds different, you know you're in a different kind of place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could just by watching the game, I mean, everything, like you said, I mean, the scenery, the environment, the rules, I mean, everything's different in international play.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so here we go. With Team USA right now as we speak tipping off against Venezuela, they looked very good in the first game, clearly. And they dominated from the start, and I think the whole key for the U.S. is from the get-go, get going, get active, and get these leads and not have to worry about it, because as we saw yesterday, when Lithuania let Brazil back in the game and let the crowd back into the game, it can totally flip on its head, especially in circumstances like this where crowds tend to root for underdogs.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, in the past, that's kind of been one of USA's problems. They kind of start off slow. I mean, they're playing around a little bit. They're not really engaged. They're not challenged, I guess is a better word to use. So, like you said, in the first game versus China, they came out better. It gets them off on a good foot, gets them rolling, and then, you know, gradually as the game goes, they open up a huge lead. They can show off the theatrics and, you know, the dunks that they do and all that for the crowd. I mean, ultimately, that's the point. But, yeah, I mean, the key to them is just getting off to a good start.
As you looked at these rosters coming in, and obviously with no Marc Gasol, Spain got weakened. But as you looked at these rosters and looked at the teams, especially when it comes to places like Argentina and France and Spain that have a high influx of NBA players, who did you look at as the U.S.'s biggest threat, quote-unquote?
I mean, you always look at Spain. Obviously, like you said, Marc Gasol not playing this year is a huge loss for them. I mean, you still got Pau Gasol. You've got some good players with Calderon, Rodriguez. I think Rudy Fernandez is still on the squad. I mean, they got good players. I'm pretty sure Ibaka as well. I think he's, if I could be wrong, but I think he's playing into the game this year. I think Spain overall has, I think, 7 NBA players. I think that's second most behind the U.S., obviously. So you always look at Spain. You know, just because of their size, you know, Brazil, speed, some youth. But again, we saw yesterday, you know, anything can happen in international play and then losing to Lithuania. So, you know, it's not so much about who the biggest threat is for USA. It's cliche to say, but I think USA's biggest threat is themselves. I really don't think, and even, again, this is our B squad, you know, we're talking about here. A lot of the big name guys aren't playing this year and it's still a great team, but there really is no true, in my opinion, true challenge, I guess, for them this year.
No, there's not. And, you know, this team is extreme favorites. You know, this is one of those weird deals where you have just a completely heavily one-sided one-sided affair where one team is just that much bigger than the other team. Before we actually dive into this, I had a laugh when DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, and DeMar DeRozan all ended up in a brothel the other night. That's just, you know, sometimes these things happen, and if it was going to happen to anybody, you would think it would be the U.S. men's basketball team.
Yeah, and I guess, and that's a PR nightmare from our standpoint. That's the last thing.
Sure.
you know, we want, but, you know, it happened. I don't know how. I mean, their reasoning was clearly dumb and didn't make any sense, but, hey, I guess it happens.
Yeah, so here we are. We're going to start with Group A, which is where the U.S. is, featuring Australia, Serbia, the U.S., France, Venezuela, and China. The U.S., by the way, demolished China in all the warm-up games, and I would hate to be China because here you are. You've been demolished by the U.S. twice during exhibition games where the U.S. doesn't shoot as well because they're getting used to the new ball. They make some dumb mistakes because of the rule changes. You think that's your window, and then you get into the real stuff and you lose 119-62. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's got to be the most debilitating thing if you're China.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, talent ends up winning out. I mean, that holds true for most sports. I mean, USA clearly has the most talent in the field. I mean, that's obvious. So, I mean, you know, China can play competitively. They can, you know, they play tough and, you know, that no-quit mentality. But, like I said, ultimately, talent wins out, and there's nobody that's even close to matching the talent of USA.
Right now, atop Group A, just by default, because of when they won their game, which was the first game played today, Australia over Serbia. Australia, which boasts current NBA players, including Deli and Mr. Bogut, currently has a lead in the group with 4 points. The U.S. plays Australia Wednesday night at 6 Eastern, the same time slot. And for me, that's going to be an intriguing game because when you have players including David Anderson, Cameron Bystro, Aaron Barnes, Bogut, Deli, and two others, including Patty Mills, you know, you want a good bellwether game to test yourself. France obviously is going to do that. Serbia usually does that. And maybe Australia in this third game will be that test.
Yeah, and it's like you said, I mean, Australia's got, they got experience. I mean, they have, and I think I'm correct myself from before, I said I'm pretty sure Australia, after the U.S., might be up there with Spain for the most NBA players. Like you said, Bogut, Dellavedova, Patty Mills, I mean, they got experienced players that are, they're tough players. I mean, they're not going to back down even if it, you know, they're going against their friends, which they will be, you know, Dellavedova guarding Kyrie, and, you know, you got Bogut and Draymond and Clay and Barnes. So, yeah, you have that aspect of it, but at the end of the day, you know, they're playing for their country and they're a prime group of players as well. So I could see Australia being a little bit of a test from a physical standpoint from, you know, they're not going to back down, that's for sure. But again, ultimately what it comes down to is talent, and, you know, you just can't match USA's roster.
Serbia, which features a bunch of people that you especially can pronounce better than I can, but it includes Bogdan Bogdanovic. See, my first attempt at this name was horrible. Bogdan Bogdanovic. There we go.
Yeah, Bogdanovic. Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead.
No, I would say Bogdanovic is a three-point shooter.
Yes, plus Nikolaj Jokic of the Nuggets for Serbia. They lost that game today by 15, and I think what's interesting for me is you look ahead to France. France obviously has Tony Parker, Batum, Boris Diaw, Gobert. For me, looking at this, Serbia, I think, being 1-1, they're in a must-win scenario versus the in their next game, which is going to be Wednesday against France. That's obviously an uphill climb now, considering France, which is 0-1, after losing to Australia, is now down in a hole having to push themselves out of it. I frankly think this group will come down to the U.S. versus France in the end. The U.S. versus Australia, because it'll be a matchup of two 2-0 teams. But I think France has got a chance to sneak up there into that second group, into that second spot, although Australia has the tiebreaker against France for the moment. So that puts the pressure on France to win out and have to avoid tiebreakers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. France is another one of those teams you kind of got to just keep an eye on because of the experience and the type of players they have. Like you mentioned, Tony Parker, Batum, DL, Gobert, like Kevin Serafin. So they got, you know, their fair share of NBA players as well, and a fair share group of experienced international players, which is equally as important in this tournament. So I think France will definitely be a team that, that can push the USA a little bit. But I agree with you with, in the regard that I could see coming down to USA and Australia in this group.
And remember, it's the top four teams from each group which move on. And I don't know if you were watching the end of the USA game the other day, but Doug Collins brought up a really good point. This is Doug Collins' fifth Olympics working for NBC. And he said that he has seen teams throw games, change lineups, do all sorts of things, because the last thing you want is to be 1A, which is going to be the U.S., and 4B. You do not want to be 4B. Because you have a chance to keep going in that elimination stage if you're anything but 4B. If you're 4B, you're basically toast. And 4B, looking at it right now as we look to Group B, which is Argentina, Lithuania, Croatia, Spain, Brazil, Nigeria, 4B could be, and it's early because they have not played their second set of games yet. They do that tomorrow, so it's a bunch of 1-0 teams. Could be somebody like a Croatia, a Lithuania, a Spain hanging around that number. You would think Spain would continue to ascend, but they lost their first game to Croatia by two. You don't want to be 4B.
No, absolutely. I mean, you want to, it's like you said, you want to get the best pole position that you possibly can. I mean, you don't want to be that team, that 4B team that's, you know, got to deal with what they got to deal with in the first round if they advance. But I guess, you know, if you're talking about it, Spain's an interesting team. I mean, yeah, they're missing Marc Gasol, but it's still one of those teams where, you know, you kind of look at them and say, all right, this team, they're not performing well right now, but they know what they're doing. I mean, they've been here before, they've won this before, you know, and let's not sleep on Spain. So you kind of don't want them hanging around at the end. But ultimately in international play, you know, you can look ahead and say this team's going to end up drawing this team, but you know, crazier things have happened. I mean, just like we saw yesterday with Brazil losing. I mean, anything can happen in international play. One guy, their best player, could have an off game, and you lose that game. So, I mean, that's the great part about the Olympics is that, yeah, you kind of can determine who the better teams are, but, again, anything goes, really.
When Kyle DeMannencor about Olympic basketball, that Brazil game last night was fascinating because obviously the host country, especially with everything Brazil's gone through, you want to win. They have Barbosa, who really played well last night down the stretch, and they really impressed me. And I think if you look at Brazil, they're now 0-1. They were down 30. They come back and cut it to 3 and eventually lose. And I think if you are their next set of opponents, which is Spain tomorrow, followed by Croatia, and then followed by Argentina, that is the murderer's row for a Brazil team that is 0-1. It's at the bottom. It's trying to make the top four. It's trying to avoid 4B, obviously. But if you're Brazil, you have to be licking your chops in a sense that I think you woke up everybody else that, oh, okay, we actually have to, like, you know, make sure we can do this. And we can do this if you're Brazil. Obviously, the other side's saying, hold on a second. And I think that this is going to create some fascinating, A, atmospheres, and B, competition, because guys like Barbosa know how much this means to their country and say, hey, you know, we cut this Lithuania lead from 30 to 3. Let's see what we can do tomorrow against Spain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brazil's obviously in a tough spot, but again, the heart that they showed yesterday, you know, tells you that they're never out of it. And the Brazil-Spain game is going to be fantastic, for, you know, for multiple reasons. I mean, obviously, you know, both need to win. You know, Brazil coming back in a way that they did yesterday to kind of make it close. So they got a little momentum, I guess, even though they lost. And just the faction of NBA players on both sides. I mean, the fans of those countries are so loyal, so dedicated. And, you know, and it's almost a little rivalry between those two teams. They've had some previous Olympics. So, you know, that'll be a very intense very competitive ball game, and you know that one, again, it's up for grabs. I couldn't tell you who's going to win that game.
We're going to take a break from talking about this and instead talking about everyone's favorite topics, which is reunions. Do you like them, Kyle? Are you a fan of them?
Of reunions?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it depends on what year.
Well, no, and this is a college reunion.
College reunions, yeah, I'm cool with college reunions.
Well, okay, because if you're Gina Auriemma, this week, these 2 weeks, these 17 days are the ultimate college reunion because you get to, you know, coach a bunch of UConn players en route to more gold medals. They beat Spain today 103-63. They are the most dominant team possibly in any sport, in any event in this whole games. I mean, obviously Katie Ledecky's insanely dominant. But the way this team is just going to run over people and Gino can just go laughing all the way to the medal podium and see all their UConn people again. It's a nice little party.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's good nostalgia for Gino and what he was able to accomplish and still accomplishing at UConn and now getting to, you know, reunite with all of his former players on the USA team. That's a pretty cool thing. And, hey, that's why you do it. I mean, that's why, you know, you get into college ball and gradually you see these girls and, you know, even the guys graduate and move on to the pros and you get a chance now like Coach K is doing, you know, in the men's. It's kind of cool to see the progression of the players and the maturity of the players and now, you know, get to coach them years down the road. That's a pretty cool thing. It's well deserved.
I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. I went looking for their first okay, that's what I'm doing wrong. I'm hitting the wrong. It helps, Kyle, when you hit the correct button.
You need an easy button.
I am looking. It's here somewhere. Hold on. Anyway, I am attempting to find this women's basketball score because it's just insane. Maybe this was the first game, and that's why. You know what? I think that may be why. Hold on. I will get this right before. No, they've played two games. Okay. I will figure this out after I ask you this next question because this seems
okay.
Which U.S. player has the most to gain? Obviously, you know, Carmelo, when he did this back in 08 and then 12, talked about how he learned how to win and become a better winner and player. And he looked at LeBron and he looked at Kobe and he looked at Wade and said, okay, this is what I got to do to make myself a better leader and a better player as the it guy. Who has the most to gain on this U.S. team? Excuse me.
Well, I mean, I think in a way they all have something to gain. I mean, it's obviously good for their reputations. I mean, what NBA player isn't gaining right now in their age with all the money they're making? But as from a reputation standpoint, I think for all of them it's a great thing. But, you know, specifically, you could look at Paul George and, you know, the story that he's had to go through and what he had to deal with after, you know, suffering that horrific leg injury, and now he's back on center stage and he's playing at a high level. So, you know, definitely a great thing for Paul George. Melo, obviously, you know, with what he's accomplished in his career for USA basketball, he's arguably maybe the most accomplished athlete in USA men's basketball history, you could argue. So he's obviously got a lot to gain, and just the young players. I mean, Kyrie Irving coming off a finals win, you know, it's good experience for him. You know, Draymond Green, even though he's still making some dumb mistakes, it's good for him. Klay Thompson, all these guys, these young players, for all of them in general, it's just, they can learn from this and build on this and hopefully help it translate to their NBA games.
The U.S. women's basketball team beat Senegal 121-56.
That's not a surprise.
yesterday. Turned right around, back to, you know, going back-to-back days and beat Spain 103-63.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They're just a good group of basketball players.
Yeah. That's got to be a wee bit intimidating if you're Senegal. Senegal's got to come back on, let's see, Wednesday against Canada and kind of regroup and say, okay, help me here, Senegal.
Yeah, I mean,
no, Canada's 2-0. They got to kind of regroup and say, all right, buckle up here. We hope.
Yeah, I don't know if you can regroup from something like that.
yeah, I mean, a 65-point beatdown is one interesting way to start your Olympic experience. And again, talk to anybody and they'll tell you that just being at the Olympics is enough to make these people happy. And right now, early on in that U.S.-Venezuela game, it is 13-13. So Venezuela keeping the U.S. tight for the moment. Kyle, we thank you. We will check in with you as the Olympics move on, and I am obliged by rule to inform you that Olympic golf begins on Golf Channel Thursday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You will be watching, correct?
If not that, then I'll just text you and get the info from you. Because I know you will be.
That's cheating. You can't do that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check out Twitter.
No. You will tune in the Golf Channel.
All right. Maybe I'll watch a little. You got
Thank you. That's Kyle. I'm Jeremy. Thanks for listening to Teeing It Up. We are back tomorrow with Ryan Ballingy for an Olympic Golf Preview. Kyle, you have to listen to the Olympic Golf Preview show.
All right. I'll listen to that one just for you, Jeremy.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I worship you.
My pleasure.
Kyle had a nice couple weeks off. He gets to join me. He gets to come back in a couple weeks, and then he gets a vacation from me, if he wants a vacation from me. If not, I'll just have him call back about something else.
And no days off.
That's right. That's how we train. No days off.
Yep.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks to all
thanks,
of you.
Jeremy.
Ryan
pleasure.
Joins us to talk Olympic golf tomorrow at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Anytime on Archive and the Golf News Net Radio Network. Enjoy your Olympics. Phelps, Ledecky, Franklin, the men's gymnastics team, Kerry Walsh Jennings, and more tonight in primetime 8 Eastern and Pacific on your local NBC station. For everybody who helped make this program possible, have a great night, everybody. See ya.